Welcome to Revival Talk Podcast. Today, we'll be listening to a recent radio interview that Beth and I did with Dr. Pauline Hughes on Spiritual Mind and Spiritual You.
Good morning. This is Dr. Pauline Hughes and Spiritual Mind, Spiritual You. I am so thankful that you've joined me today. This is just a glorious day. I've got two great guests with me. I'm always excited that they're with me. Bailey and his wonderful and beautiful wife, Beth. I give God the glory for their lives. So I'm going to read my foundational scripture. And then after I do that, we're going to get started. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And so, dear brother, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all of that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn how to know God's will for you, which is his good and pleasing and perfect. So as I said this morning, I am honored to have with me Dr. Terry Bailey and his wife, Beth Bailey. Dr. Terry wrote an awesome, I call it a book, but it's actually a Bible study. But I'm going to tell you something. Once you start reading it, you cannot put it down because there are just so many interesting things in here. At the beginning of his book on page 3, it says what others are saying, you know, and, you know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people say a lot of things about the book, you know, as it's forwarded. But my favorite statement in this book is the statement made by Bishop Sean Patrick Williams. And this book, 21 Days of Transformation, is relating to coming to know the Holy Spirit in the fullness of who he is. Because I'm going to tell you something, friends. Jesus is not in the earth. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit to us to lead us and guide us in all truth. He is the teacher. And he is here to teach you in the time of peace what to do in the time of trouble. And so, you know, you don't get in trouble to try to know who God is. And so the Holy Spirit will teach you. He will lead you. He will guide you into your destined purpose, into whatever situation you encounter. And Beth, I've learned that when trouble comes, it has everything to do with your destiny and purpose. It comes to teach you. He comes to lead you. He is a great counselor. You know, he is a physician. He is everything you need here in the earth. And the beauty of it is he is in you.
Amen.
And so only thing we need to do is get the word, study, meditate, and allow him to be stirred up so that he can teach us and show us the heart of the Father. But I want to read this forewording from Bishop Sean Patrick Williams, because I'm telling you something. This right here should be bronze. It really should, because I tell you, I believe he was under the power of the Holy Spirit when he wrote it, because it says everything. I would like to read it to you right now. The Holy Spirit is the closest friend you'll ever know. He is the strongest weapon that can fight for you. He is the greatest wisdom you will ever find and the deepest lover you will ever have. The Holy Spirit is one of the most important and, yes, misunderstood persons in the Bible. He is the extension of Jesus Christ on earth today. Without the Holy Spirit, your relationship with Jesus is distant. Without him, the Bible is simply stories and never becomes real to your soul. So you will find the realness to the Holy Spirit as you study this book. This book is only $10, Dr. Terry. What a blessing.
That's true. And you can get it on Amazon. You can get it in Kindle format, which mm-hmm. is $5. Mm-hmm. For those of you like me that like mm-hmm. to carry it with you on your iPad, mm-hmm. it's available on Kindle. Mm-hmm. I wrote it really out of my own experience with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I learned years ago that you can have a relationship with the precious third person of the Trinity.
That's right.
And the Bible says in John 14:17, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
Amen.
I remember some years ago I was reading that scripture, and those last four words just kind of jumped into my heart. He dwells with you and will be in you. Mm. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 3, and then in chapter 6, he talks about our bodies being temples of the Holy Spirit. Mm. The third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, comes and lives down on the inside of us. Mm-hmm. That means we're filled with inside information. Mm-hmm. I love what my father in the Lord, a great man of God, Brother John Todd, he's 87 years old today, mm-hmm. or 87 years young, I might say. And he's traveled all over the world preaching the gospel, ministering. But he taught me years ago about how to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I learned so much about hearing God's voice. Mm-hmm. And he would say it this way. The Holy Spirit down on the inside of you's never been sick. The Holy mm-hmm. Spirit down on the inside of you's never been confused.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Spirit down on the inside of you's never not known what to do or been fearful or afraid. So what we have to learn to do is yield ourselves to the precious third person of the Trinity. And the Bible says in Romans 8 that they that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Yes. Well, the Greek word there for sons, it's a word that means maturity. In other words, when we're led by the Spirit, we've come into a place of maturity in our walk and our relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. And we learn in the Scriptures that the Holy Spirit's our teacher. Mm-hmm. He takes the things that Jesus said and spoke, and he don't speak of himself. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit will rarely ever speak to you about himself, mm-hmm. but he points you to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I love what Bishop Sean is my brother from another mother, mm-hmm. is what we always say. I met Sean some years ago, and we've become best of friends and brothers in the Lord and ministry partners. But I like what he says, you know, without the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is just basically a book of stories.
Book of stories.
It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Men of old were moved on by the Holy Spirit and inspired to write the Word of God. That word inspiration means God breathed. It was the breath of God. Well, we realize if you go back in Scripture, it's the breath of God. He breathed life into Adam. What mm-hmm. was that? That was the precious third person of the Trinity, mm-hmm. the wind of God, the breath of God, mm-hmm. that God breathed on the inside of him, and he became a living soul. Mm-hmm. So God takes his word, and the Holy Spirit breathes on the inside of us, and we begin to understand and grasp what God is trying to say. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good to know Hebrew. It's good to know Greek. It's good to memorize Scripture. Mm-hmm. But we have to learn to touch the Spirit of God's
That's
Word.
Right.
And when we touch the Spirit of God's Word, the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and make it come alive to us. And then it's more than just learning facts and figures and learning history and knowing about Jesus. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus real, and we can know mm-hmm. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Terry, I've been saying this in the year 2016, and as we get ready to embark upon 17, there's just a lot of things we have got to unlearn. And as I was coming up in the church, as soon as I gave my life to the Lord, you know, the first thing that everybody wanted to do was get me busy in the church. Okay, you know, let's sing in the choir. Let's be on the usher board. And, you know, you end up doing works and not understanding the one that you're coming to do the work towards. And what happens is that you're working, trying to build the church. And the person that called you, you have not been built on from the inside out. And then what happens is you're so busy working in church, you end up angry in church doing the work for the church. Because the Bible says, you know, in everything you do, do for the glory of God. And so we're doing works toward for something that we don't even know who it is. So when you said the Spirit of the Word, coming to know the Spirit of the Word, can you just kind of articulate that a little bit
well,
more?
Well, I think the key to that is I become a student of God's Word, and the Holy Spirit's my teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just depending on the sermon on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I think where we've gone wrong in church is we've made the Sunday morning sermon or the Sunday school hour our devotional time with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Christians never open up the Word of God for themselves.
That's right.
That's why you need a relationship with the Holy Spirit, because when you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you'll hunger for the Word.
That's right.
And as you get into the Word, God will begin to show you things in the Word of God. I don't think you need to be so content on just reading the Bible through.
Mm-hmm.
I've read the Bible through. One time I decided to do it backwards, so I went from Revelation to Genesis, mm-hmm. you know. So I've read it through, but I don't try to read it through each year. I try to find, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me?
That's
and I'll
right.
get into certain books.
That's right.
Through the month of December, we were reading through Luke. And what I'm trying to do is get the people that I pastor understand that it's important to be in the Word. Faith comes by hearing,
and hearing
by the Word. Amen. You don't pray and say, Lord, give me faith. You read the Word of God, and faith comes alive in your heart as you read the Word of God. So I think in church, we pastors are so desperate for people to work that if you get saved and you look like you want to do a job, we'll put you in the junior boys Sunday school class, and then we don't talk to you for 5 years because we're afraid you'll give it up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think where we've missed it is number one, we haven't focused on discipleship. Look, when I was coming up in ministry and pastoring back some years back, it was all about numbers, growing your church growth, getting numbers. And there's nothing wrong with that, because numbers represent, I believe, those people who have been converted. But what we've done is if we're not careful, we're looking to build a great church out of numbers, and we're not looking to grow people.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I shifted my focus some years ago away from just numbers, and I shifted my focus to really trying to impart to people and get people to grow in their walk and their relationship with God. Mm-hmm. So the key for us is to get people in a place of discipleship.
That's right.
Because when they get into God's Word and they begin to understand who the Holy Spirit is,
right.
transformation takes place in their lives.
That's right. That's
Many
right.
times we put people in places before they're ready,
mm-hmm.
and they're not really even gifted for that mm-hmm. place. Yeah, be on the usher board, or come teach Sunday school, or come be in the choir,
mm-hmm.
and those kinds of things. And they're really not ready for that. They're not in a place where they've grown, and maybe that's not where their gift is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the key is to help people understand their gifting. What are you passionate about? How has God wired you?
Mm-hmm.
In Romans chapter 12, there's seven different, what we call the motivational
mm-hmm.
gifts.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the gifts of the Spirit, there's the gift we call manifestation gifts. They're found in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the fivefold ministry gifts in Ephesians chapter 4. And then in Romans 12, we have the seven motivational gifts, the mm-hmm. gift of giving, the gift of administrations, the gift of mercy,
mm-hmm.
The gift of prophecy. And that don't mean that you prophesy, but it means you have a prophetic calling mm-hmm. on your life. And you need all seven of those gifts functioning in a healthy body so that body can be healthy.
Right.
From what I see, for the most part, the church in America is not very healthy.
Mm.
We're sometimes we're built around a personality, or we're focused around one individual, and
mm-hmm.
and we kind of have what I call NFL football Christianity. You got 60,000 people in the stands mm-hmm. and 20, 11 players on one side, 22 players on the field. The ones in the stands need exercise. The ones on the field need rest.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it is in church. We have a lot of spectators and a lot of people who are spectating, but they're not fulfilling the mandate and the mission.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is because the church in America many times has become, I call it a country club. We are
mm-hmm.
a counterculture within the greater culture.
Mm-hmm.
And in this last election, the evangelical voting bloc. And,
mm-hmm.
and we're just considered to be another part of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
God never mm-hmm. called us to be another part of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
He called us to transform the culture.
That's right.
How are we going to do that? We're only going to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And if we're going to walk in that power and live in that power, we're going to have to know Him.
Right.
We have to know Him.
That's right.
And I'm a Spirit-filled Pentecostal preacher. Beth and I have been married almost 29 years. We've known each other for more than 30 years now. We met on December the 26th.
Mm-hmm.
So that was 30 years ago that we met. Then we
mm-hmm.
were engaged for a little over a year and 3 months, I think it was, and got married.
Mm-hmm.
So this March, we will be 29 years of marriage. And we've been in ministry that whole time, but we grew up in church.
Right.
And we grew up and we put an emphasis on the Spirit-filled life,
mm-hmm.
being Spirit-filled.
Mm-hmm.
But many times, I don't think we understood or knew what the dynamics of that really was.
Right, right.
So I think we've got to walk in that,
right.
live in that.
Right.
You know, we used to have an old saying, we're going to get together and pray through.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about we stay through?
That's right. Amen.
And walk in communion and relationship right. with the third person
that's
of
right.
the Trinity.
That's right. And the key of it is, the Bible says, you know, when we say, you know, Jesus Christ come into my life, is it Jesus come into my life? I'm a sinner. Save me by grace. Immediately, the Holy Spirit comes in us. The pastor don't come in us. The deacon don't come into us. You know, He comes in us. He comes in us to reveal the will of the Father for our lives. And I have found through my own life, Beth, I have found that I had to learn God through trial and error because I did not take this word and allow Him to teach me. So I had to fall down, I guess, you know, I'm probably exaggerating, more times than what I should have until I recognized that He already has the plan for Pauline Hughes, where I was going. He knew me before I was in my mother's womb. You know, I ended up taking the nursing exam 4 times, wanting to be a nurse. That's what my flesh wanted. Until I prayed the simplest prayer, God, show me what you want me to do. What do you want me to do? And God gave me an open vision of me standing behind the pulpit. I said, God, you're crazy. I'm not doing that. But that was His call for my life. And I tell you, when I began to embrace that call, this is not work for me. This is fun. You know, I have one of my intercessors in Alabama. She says, Dr. Hughes, she said, what I love about you the most, she said, when God tells you to do something, you just start running. Because, you know, my thing is, hey, if it's Him, He's going to bless it. And if it's not Him, He's going to bless me because I'm running towards it. Because either way, is for him. So, Beth, I want you to talk about today, and I don't know what you have in your notes, but I know a little bit to know that you have found God in some, I mean, really, really found God. I mean, I look at just the time that I've known you, how you have grown in that time. I mean, I think Beth Bailey is a gentle, quiet giant. But you have found God in hard places. So for those of you all that are out there that have, that you're in a hard place and you just think, you know, oh my gosh, you just want to throw the towel in. I want you to listen to this vessel for just a minute, because Beth Bailey is going to give you hope today. Go ahead, Beth.
Yes, I am growing in the Lord, and he's teaching me, and I'm doing my best to humble myself before him so that I can receive, because mm-hmm. humility is the key mm-hmm. in this hour mm-hmm. to receiving from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Galatians chapter 5:22 reveals to us the nature of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. and how we can get to know him. Mm-hmm. He is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. He's gentle. He has self-control. Mm-hmm. And, these are his characteristics, and this is how we can get to know him. And one of the things that Holy Spirit has been dealing with me about, the Lord has been revealing to me, because I want to be on a journey of wholeness. Mm-hmm. I want to be whole. Mm-hmm. I want to operate in the fullness mm-hmm. of the Spirit mm-hmm. and all that the Holy Spirit has. Mm-hmm. And I know from, you know, my testimony, that we lost our first child, and that broke me. It created a fraction in me. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord has brought me on this journey of wholeness mm-hmm. and has taught me so much on this journey. Mm-hmm. And as I, the last year, he has just really been pouring out and illuminating his word to me. And he's been talking to me about hope mm-hmm. because I didn't realize, but 22 years ago when I lost my son, I did not realize that I stopped hoping. Mm-hmm. You know, I would wait till something happened to have an opinion about it. If mm-hmm. it was good, I was happy. If it was bad, then I dealt with it the best way I could. But I didn't have any preconceived judgments about anything mm-hmm. that was happening in my life. And I didn't even know I was living like that. Mm-hmm. But the Lord has stopped me over the last year and said, you can't have the fullness of the Spirit mm-hmm. living like that. Mm-hmm. You've got to start operating ahead of time in the power of the Spirit, letting him bring us along. And the only way that he has shown me for myself in this moment that I'm traveling through on this journey mm-hmm. is that my hope had to be restored. Mm-hmm. And he began to speak to me one day about a certain issue that I was praying about, and he just gently put his finger there, and he said, this is an example of what I'm telling you. You do not hope, and you have got to get your hopes up. Mm. And that was the farthest thing from my mind at that time. Wow. Because I didn't even think like that. Like yes. I said, I did not thought like that yes. in 22 years. Yes. So why would I even yes. Venture in that direction? Mm-hmm. I had no understanding or knowledge or wisdom in that. And the Lord stopped me and he said, get your hopes up.
Amen.
And to do that, you know, I had to go and research the Word of mm-hmm. God, because I was so deficient in that area of hope mm-hmm. to understand that that was what precipitates the moving of the fullness of the Spirit mm-hmm. in your life. You can't move forward unless you have hope, because hope is that connection. That's right. That's that point that God begins to deal with mm-hmm. you so that he can bring everything else to
That's
pass
right.
in your life.
That's right.
Because, see, hope is eternal. Mm-hmm. Faith, hope, and love mm-hmm. are eternal.
That's right.
And God uses them together, mm-hmm. that threefold cord, mm-hmm. to bring about everything that happens in our mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. And when he began to talk to me about hope, he said, get your hopes up. But then I researched that, and I found out that hope was this confident trust of expectation of fulfillment. I've got to know, I've got to expect ahead of time that mm-hmm. God is going to answer mm-hmm. his word. Mm-hmm. He's going to honor his word, and he's going to bring his mm-hmm. promises to pass in my life.
That's right.
But in order to do that, I have to hope. Then I realized he spoke the word rejoice to me. I had to begin to rejoice. My hope could not be full unless I was rejoicing. Mm-hmm. As mm-hmm. Paul says, rejoice, and then again, I say rejoice. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't operate in that fullness of hope mm-hmm. until we are rejoicing.
Right.
And a lot of that is by faith.
That's right.
We are faith. Totally rejoicing mm-hmm. by faith. If you mm-hmm. are rejoicing mm-hmm. and ahead of time, mm-hmm. it is by faith mm-hmm. because you are not seeing what is mm-hmm. promised come to pass mm-hmm. yet. So our rejoicing has to be made full. Mm-hmm. The Lord began to speak to me about justice after that. When we connect with him in that place of hope, and when we start rejoicing, when we judge him faithful for what he is doing in our lives, then he comes at that moment and he brings his justice. And see, justice is when God says how it's going to be.
Yeah,
justice
right.
is when he steps in on the scene.
Amen.
And he starts to reorder things, and he says, no, that's not how it's going to be anymore, but my will
right.
is going to be
that's
how
right.
it's going
that's
to
right.
be.
Hallelujah.
And he moves in on our behalf. See, that hope is that starting point. We have to get our hopes
That's
up.
Right.
We have to allow God to move in that expectation. We have to begin to rejoice. That helps feed our hope.
Right.
It helps to feed us and to judge God
That's
faithful.
Right.
And then he brings us to that
That's
place
right.
of justice where he
That's
is
right.
going to move
right.
on our behalf.
That's right.
And when he says how it's going to be, mm-hmm. then we are there in his presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he steps in,
mm-hmm.
we're right there
mm-hmm.
with him.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are right there with him, when you are at his right hand, there is fullness
That's
of
right.
joy.
Come on now.
Joy is that fruit of the
mm-hmm.
Spirit
mm-hmm.
that is produced
mm-hmm.
out of the hope.
Mm-hmm.
That's that
mm-hmm.
fullness. That's
mm-hmm.
the full place
mm-hmm.
that we're heading.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want to operate
right.
in.
That's
and
right.
when we get there, we're going to have exuberant joy because God has stepped in on the scene. He has reordered things.
Mm-hmm.
He has realigned things.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is how it's going
That's
to be.
Right.
And now your joy can be full.
Joy unspeakable and full
yes,
of glory.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when our rejoicing is full
mm-hmm.
and
you
we
know,
come into joy.
You know, Beth, when we think about the Christian walk, God, you know, let me tell you something. This Bible from Genesis to Revelation is word activated. It really is. It's activated when you open your mouth. And when the Bible says that one of the fruits is joy, Beth, I don't have a choice whether I'm going to be joyful or not.
Right.
God commands me to be joyful.
Right.
And so when if I say I'm a Christian, if I'm professing Christianity, you know, I meet people every day and they say, I say, well, how are you? Oh, I'm having a bad day. And you're in Christ? Really? Well, you know, the Christ I know. He says to rejoice.
Right.
He said to rejoice and to rejoice always. You know, and so the key is if the joy of the Lord, if the joy of the Lord is my strength, I'm able to pull joy out of me. Because like you said, the thing is about the kingdom. You know, there's no sickness in the kingdom. There's no sickness in the Holy Ghost. There's no sadness in him. Everything we need is in him. He's in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not we that live, but Christ will live. Let me tell you something. Christ isn't on the right hand of the Father having a bad day. And he's not up there asking you whether you think he should have a good day or a bad day. He commands us.
Exactly.
He's already set the tone.
Right. And he wants us to be the church. We're
mm-hmm.
not just going to attend the church or do all of these duties like we're talking about. He wants us to rise up and be the church. But to do that, we have to operate in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He has
wow.
to be operational in our lives.
Wow.
And we have to know how to yield to him and how to operate.
Amen.
And when we do that, this getting our hopes up, coming into this place of rejoicing in the midst of trial,
midst of
even
trials.
Though it may be, but coming through that, knowing that you can rejoice because our covenant is made in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
He has already brought everything to pass on our behalf that we need. He's made that atonement for us. And so when he, whatever we go through, whatever trial we're going through, we have to realize that in that covenant, if we have suffered loss, in that covenant is provision for us to have restoration. Amen. So that's why we can rejoice, Amen. Because Jesus has already shown us the end result. Amen. He will always turn things around for our good. He will always work according to His will and purposes that's in right. our life. Hallelujah. And we just have to focus on what He is saying and on that Word of that's God. Right. We can't right. do that that's if we don't have the right. Word of God in our lives.
Beth, right here in the midst of this glory, because I'm telling you something, you can cut it with a knife in here right now. There are those out there, and you were there. You know what this feels like. You know, it's like Jesus. You know, He was. You know, He was mere man. He knew. He felt our afflictions. He knew what we went through. You know what that feels like. That person that feels like they can't see the daylight for the darkness. I want you to pray for that person mm-hmm. right now. If you're that person, you know, you don't know what to do. You know, you're at your wit's end. You may be suicidal right now. Well, Beth's going to pray a prayer release, and she's going to allow the Holy Spirit to use her. And I want you to lift your hands up, and I want you to receive this prayer of deliverance. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just come right now for those that are listening today, that are in that point of struggle, that are in that place of despair even, Father, that it looks like there is no hope. But I lift them up today, and I reach out to them in the name of Jesus, and I just exalt that name, the name that's above every other name, the name that's above anything that they could ever experience or go through. I exalt the name of Jesus over everything that concerns you today. And I ask, Father, that you'll minister, that you'll settle in their spirit right now. Just settle in over them, hover over them, and rescue them. Bring them out of this place. Rescue them up. Bring them up and out, and show them what is before them, God. Give them that promise. Mm. Lord, I pray that you'll give them the courage to take one more step toward you. I pray that you'll give them a determination. Give them a willingness. Help them to be willing to be willing mm-hmm. to believe in this promise mm-hmm. one more time. Mm-hmm. Father, I pray that you will give a peace that will pass their understanding even right now. Yes. That you will just settle among them right now, mm-hmm. Father, and minister your comfort as only you know how. You know what each one is going through, yes. the decisions that they're making, the mm-hmm. thoughts that they're having, Father. I pray that you will intervene on their behalf right now. And we bind the enemy and cancel every assignment yes. against them in the mighty name of Jesus. And I plead the very blood of Jesus over them today. And this that you will bring them out, Father. We trust you today, and we yes. judge you faithful yes. to bring every person out of that place that they feel like they're stuck. They feel mm-hmm. like they can't go beyond this place. We say move forward mm-hmm. today in the mighty name of Jesus. So rescue them and bring yes. them out yes. right now yes. in Jesus' name.
Amen. You need the Lord today. Let me tell you something. You may say, well, you know, I'm not saved. I haven't given my life to the Lord. But God created you, and God created you with a purpose. And as long as you do not receive Him, you will continue to spin your wheels in the mud, because the Bible says that God has a plan for you, and that plan is to prosper you and not to harm you, but plan to do you good all the days of your life. God has created you. You know, it's like I drive a little Volkswagen. If that little Volkswagen get down, I got to take it to the Volkswagen dealership. I don't take it to the Cadillac dealership. So you're trying to take yourself places that's not going to work. You're going to come to a dead end. And so aren't you tired of the dead end place? I brought with me here today Dr. Terry Bailey and Beth Bailey. And Terry's going to talk about keys. God has given him a great revelation to talk about keys. And I want to read this passage of scripture before he began. It's in Matthew chapter 16. And I'm going to begin right here where it says in, I think it's 18. And says, and also I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So, you know, the thing of it is, God has the key. And so, Terry, you and Beth, please talk about this revelation of the keys that God has given you all for the year 2017.
Well, first of all, Beth has a key that she's going to give to you.
Oh, thank you.
And what the Lord spoke to me a few weeks ago about the keys was, he said, I want you to take a key. Mm-hmm. So we bought all the keys in Greenwood that we can find. Because everywhere the Lord sends us with this message, we are depositing keys into people.
Amen.
I preached this in the church I pastor there at South Greenwood several months back, maybe 4 weeks ago, a month or so ago. And one lady told me, she said, I've hung my key from my rearview mirror, and every morning when I get into my car as I drive to work, I begin to confess things over my life and over my day and begin to speak things over my day. And that key is a reminder of that. But what the Lord spoke to me was, he said, I want you to take a key to the significant places in your life of your past, and I want you to use that key just as a symbol, just as a prophetic act, to unlock the unfulfilled promises that I made to you in those places that you've never realized, and to unlock the provision and supply that was not realized in those places.
Wow.
So I've already been to three places.
Wow.
I've got about three more to go. One is in Tennessee, one's in Maryland, and it's places where I had significant encounters with God, places where, and what I've done is I've met with pastors of churches where I pastored, and I've left the key with them, and because I'll never need that key again, because once God opens the door, he opens the door. And what God dealt with me about keys was simply this, Dr. Pauline. It's out of Isaiah 22:22. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, so he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open. Now, we were talking about Matthew 16. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It's time for us to use the keys that God's put in our hands for this season to unlock those things that God has promised us in the past. This is the year on the Hebrew calendar, 5777. It's the year of the sword, the clashing of the sword. And in this year, one of the things that God is speaking to us about is about resources that he's going to release. So I felt like the Lord gave me the message about keys, because there's something that he wants to unlock. Now, you say, well, Pastor, you can't do anything about your past. Well, here's the thing. God reigns above time.
Right.
He's the great chronographer of the ages. God is not in time. As a matter of fact, we have a we approach things from a Greek Western mindset, so we judge and look at time as linear. God doesn't look time as linear. God looks at time as cyclical and more circular. The Hebrew and the Eastern mind, it deals with time differently than we do. God is not confined to time and space like we are, but he reigns above time. So when God looks down, he sees the beginning and he sees the end. I'm the Alpha, the Omega. The beginning and the end. If you really get into the tense of the Greek there, it means he's everything in between.
That's right, amen.
So God is looking down into the panorama of our lives. We only can see yesterday and today. We don't know what tomorrow holds. That's where we walk by faith. So here's the thing. That's why God could say in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. That's why God says in his word, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. God has already ordered our steps. That's why you and I don't need to have bad days. If God is sovereign,
that's right, which he is,
and I'm his child, then everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
That's from another father in the Lord,
right,
that
hallelujah.
Taught me that. And if we really believe that and trust him and trust that he has our best interest at heart, then we don't have to be fearful or worried or afraid.
That's right.
Now, we tend to fall back into those human traits, those fleshly traits at times. That's why we need to have those renewals of the Holy Spirit. But here's what he said. You read the scripture. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Gates represent government. Gates represent authority. And here's what that word church is. It comes from the Greek word ekklesia. Now, ekklesia, we would just simply say in many of our contemporary translations. Well, it means a called out body. Mm-hmm. But actually, let me just share with you what the ecclesia really is.
Okay.
Dutch Sheets writes this. He said, when Jesus used the word church, ecclesia, the disciples weren't hindered by our contemporary preconceived ideas as to what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
To us today, it is a worship service, a building used by Christians, or a local congregation of Christians.
Mm-hmm.
To the Greeks in Christ's day, an ecclesia was an assembly of people set apart to govern the affairs of a state or nation, a parliament or Congress.
Mm-hmm.
To the Romans, it was a group of people sent into a conquered region to alter the culture until it became like Rome.
Mm-hmm.
We are sent into this region to alter this culture until it becomes like the culture of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So the key is, here's what the Lord said to me. You go, because I'm the God of the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can't go in and do anything about my past. I can't change it. I can't go back into the past and change that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what can happen, though. God can come and redeem my past.
That's right.
So did I miss something? Did God promise me something? And through my own ignorance or disobedience, did I miss something in the past?
Right.
God's not the God of punishment and harsh difficulty where he's just going to stomp us down in the ground and,
mm-hmm.
well, you missed it. No, he's the God of many chances. He's grace and merciful. So here's what the Lord said. He said, you go and you release those promises and that provision from the past. And what you're going to do is you're going to pull the past into your presence. And that's going to create a convergence that's going to open the door for your future.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm going back and I'm rehearsing the promises God made to me that I've never seen the realization of. And many times when we see a prophetic word, we'll just say, well, okay. And if we're not careful, we almost forget what God said.
That's
and we
right.
just kind of move on with life.
Right.
But God made me some promises about the nations of the earth.
That's
God
right.
made me some promises about regions
yes.
that are going to come to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking a key and I'm
yes.
going to those places
yes.
and I'm saying, God, I'm yes. getting hold of the promises of the past. I'm bringing them into the present. Now it's going to create my future. I know the plans I have for you
Amen.
To give you a future
right.
and a hope, plans to prosper you,
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen.
Listen, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
And it's
Amen.
Not because of who's in the White
Amen.
House.
That's
it's because
right.
of who's on the throne
Amen.
Of our hearts.
You better preach
and
now.
It's because of the kingdom of God.
Glory, hallelujah.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
As it is in heaven.
So we're going to present you with a key. And you, as you feel led to pray, and whatever you feel that God would say to you and speak to you, then I would do that. You're getting ready to lay the groundwork for a move of God that's coming in this region. I was looking at the boundaries last night online of the CSRA, and it's bigger than even I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple counties, two states. It goes from McCormick to Orangeburg, to Aiken, to McDuffie, to Richmond.
Yes.
I mean, 700,000 people in this area.
Yes.
This is a significant region that God is going to move and work in. And we're going to mark the boundaries. And as you begin to establish prayer and minister in this region, you're laying the groundwork for what God is going to do. There's going to become an outpouring of God's Spirit, I believe. You know, people saying, well, the Lord's coming back. Well, if he comes, that's fine. I'm ready today. He don't have to hesitate one day.
Yes.
But he wants us to occupy. That's a military term.
Yes. Yes.
That's what the ecclesia does. We
yes.
come in,
yes.
we establish that culture
yes.
of the kingdom. How do we do that? We do that by living and walking in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We do that by manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in our life.
Mm-hmm.
We do that through prayer and intercession
mm-hmm.
and crying out to God.
Right.
Legislating in the heavenlies is what
yes.
prayer is. Prayer should never be, bless me, help me,
mm-hmm.
here I am, Lord, in my all my needs. That's a
yes.
petition prayer.
Yes.
But God's calling us to be kingly intercessors,
yes.
to begin to decree his will.
Amen.
You said something earlier. You said, you know, the word of God, we give it expression. When we speak the word, we give it expression in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
He says his word never returns void, but it accomplishes what it sent out to do.
Mm-hmm.
I believe God's word always brings increase.
Yes.
I believe God's word always brings change.
Yes.
I believe God's word always becomes a seed.
Yes.
And even people say, well, I don't believe that. But deep in their heart, they know better
mm-hmm.
because the word of God's powerful.
Yes.
It's like a sharp, two-edged
yes.
sword. So this is the year of the word, the sword of the Lord coming down on the earth. So when we give, when we begin to speak that word, we give expression to that word. By your words you're justified, by your words you're condemned. You're, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. There's all kinds of talk about what we speak and how we speak and what we say. And that's why the tongue's the last unruly member to come into subjection. So we're going to give expression to that as we begin to speak forth what the will of God is. We legislate in the heavenlies. How do we do that? We have to be led by the Holy Spirit in how we pray. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to any prayer meetings like I have. You got one on this side. We got one dear sister in the in the hospital. And I got one group on this side that's decided it's time for her to go home. So they're praying for God to take her home. Got another group on this side. They're praying for God to raise her up. I said, God's not the author of confusion.
No, he isn't.
So what I've learned to do is I've learned to get into the presence of the Lord and find out what the Holy Spirit is saying, come into agreement with God, partner with him in our prayers, and begin to let the Spirit of God pray through us so that we can legislate in the heavenlies so that what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven because we're operating in the will of God. So that's kind of what that key is about.
Hallelujah. Well, we give God the glory. And I tell you, I'm so full and I can't talk. You have messed me up. But I do want to say this. When I was coming from Arkansas, and I was coming from, my husband was coming from Arkansas in July from doing a conference there, God spoke to me. He says, I want you to begin all-night prayer in Thompson. I really don't know anybody in Thompson. And praise the Lord, you know, people, God brought people into my midst, and we began all-night prayer here. So we started in October. We did one in September. We took a break November, December. And God is doing awesome things through that. God is laying a foundation for what he is getting ready to do. The next all-night prayer in Thompson is at the Depot, 111 Railroad Street. Will be January the 27th. We will begin at 9 p.m. That Friday night, and we go to the next morning at 5 a.m. I'm going to tell you something. It is a glorious time. It is a time that you can come and be naked and unashamed in the presence of the Lord. God will meet you at your point of need. The thing I love most about this all-night prayer is the midnight. When God began to speak to me and told me to do all night prayer, he began to speak to me about Paul and Silas. And he said that at midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing hymns and praises unto God. And there was an earthquake. Well, I kept reading that scripture, but that word earthquake kept jumping out at me. And I said, God, what are you saying about this word earthquake? He said, let me tell you about the earthquake. He said, there was an earthquake. He said, because I put my foot on the earth.
Wow.
And so God promises that if we would meet him at midnight, that he would put his foot on the earth for you on your behalf. I want you to meet me on January the 27th.
That earthquake, Dr. Pauline, was a Holy Ghost earthquake. If you notice, it didn't damage any of the buildings. It just unlocked the locked cell doors and the shackles. Paul and Silas were in the inner prison, so their feet and their hand were shackled.
Hallelujah.
And the Bible said, in that place of bondage, beaten, accused, reputation lost, that they began to sing praises unto God at midnight, at the midnight hour, and that's when the breakthrough came.
Hallelujah.
And the whole prison was shaken, and every prisoner, even those that didn't know Jesus, was loosed. But it was such a powerful move of God that nobody left. That's the kind of move of God I'd like to have in my church where nobody would leave.
Amen.
And I've experienced those in days gone by where we had to, we were pastoring a church and we had to get out of the building at 2 o'clock because we had another church that rented the facility. So we had to carry people out, put them in other places because they were just so overcome by the presence of God. Do it again, Lord. Do it in our day. Not so we can just have an experience, but so that we can be radically transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. The last all-night prayer we had, it was right before midnight. I guess it must have been about 20 to 12. The presence of the Lord came down so strong that we couldn't even talk. Fred Prophet was singing a song. I don't know what he was singing, but I tell you, we just stood there in awe. And what I need you to hear, listener, is that this is not a denominational thing. This is not if you're Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal. This is about the move of God. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's in your word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the thing of it is, the very Bible that you're carrying with you every Sunday morning, God is commanding you to walk that word out.
So John 17 movement, that they all may be one.
Well, they all may be one.
Listen, we got more in common And we're going to need each other even more so as the days approach. We're going to need each other. We agree on far more than we disagree on. And I think every believer would say, I need more of Jesus.
That's right.
I need more. I need more of the Holy Spirit. I need more of His Word. I need to know Him greater. So I would encourage people to come, and we will make our every effort to come.
Yes, we would love to have
and be with you for that prayer time.
That's right. And the thing of it is, I think, Beth and Terry, I think the biggest problem we have is that everybody wants to argue about your experience. The Bible says that we overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and a word of my testimony. How can you argue against what I have experienced? You know, it's time for us to lay that thing down. My experience has drawn me closer to the Lord. If you listen, you'll have an experience that will draw you closer to the Lord. But let me tell you something. The enemy can't come through that blood. He's not coming through that, because if he will, he'll be a stray, he'll be a saved devil. But Beth, let's talk about the power of prayer. Every Saturday morning from 7 o'clock to 7:30, there is a call line that you can call in on, and from 7 o'clock to 7:30, I pray. And God has mandated me to allow leaders that are with me to join me in on this 30-minute prayer. They will pray for 15 minutes. I will pray for 15 minutes. And, you know, and basically, you know, I don't put a cap on the Holy Spirit. I let him do what he wants to do. But I want to give you that number if you desire to call in. That number is 712-775-7031. And once you dial that number, you'll be asked for a code. That code is 878-522-806. So in the morning at 7 o'clock, try to call in at 6:55 so that we can greet each other, so we'll know that you're on the line, because at 7 o'clock we're praying. In the morning, Johnny Worthy from the movie War Room will be sharing prayer with us in the morning. I'm very excited. God has really developed a very strong relationship between him and I, and we're really praying that one all-night prayer that he will be here with us as we are preparing to do a prayer spring rally here in the city of Thompson. I'm praying that all of my close brothers and sisters, Terry and Beth and Johnny Worthy and so many others, will come with the pastors here in the CRSRA, bring Thompson to another level of prayer. Amen.
Amen. Prayer is that vehicle that God uses to connect with us, that where he wants to partner with us so that he can reveal his will so that it can be done in the earth. Mm-hmm. You know, he does nothing except through prayer.
That's right.
He has chosen that. Mm-hmm. He is sovereign. He mm-hmm. is Almighty God. He can do whatever he chooses to do whenever mm-hmm. he chooses mm-hmm. to do it. Mm-hmm. But he has chosen this, that we would speak with him, that we would meet with him, we would commune with him, and that he would use this this tool, this communication to bring to pass his will in the earth, so that he can bring all of these covenant promises, as Psalms 105 says, that he watches over his covenant mm-hmm. promise forever. Mm-hmm. Even he brings it to pass even for 1,000 generations. Mm-hmm. So he has chosen this. And what we're talking about today is where he is bringing us to that place of justice, where he is working justice in our lives, when he is bringing us to that point, that place where he's meeting with us and he is saying, this is how it's going to be. Amen. These things may have happened in the past. You may have suffered loss, but if you have suffered loss, then he is already in his covenant. Yes. He has already prepared yes. restoration.
Hallelujah.
That's how awesome God is, yes. that he would move on our behalf. At the moment we suffer loss, he is working here, come over on. Here, to bring about that restoration.
Amen.
You know, the judgments of God are twofold. He brings reward. He does bring punishment.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to understand what we're dealing with when we deal with the justice of the Lord, because we can't mistake his forbearance for his forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about the church coming up into who they need to be, rising up and being the church. Then, you know, so many are living substandard. Mm-hmm. They're living beneath the guidelines mm-hmm. of what the Lord has set for mm-hmm. us in his covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to come up into that, and we don't need to mistake his forbearing with us, trying to bring us to that mm-hmm. for his forgiveness, mm-hmm. to excuse us for what we're not doing.
That's right.
We need to do what we're commanded to do in the Word of God.
That's
to live
right.
that holy life, to come into alignment with him in every way, and so that he can bring that justice it's all humility. It's all humbling ourselves in that point of prayer that you're saying. Yes. Humble yourself before him and call on him. Yes. Jeremiah says, if you call on him, then he's sure to hear you. Mm-hmm. If he's sure to hear you, then he is sure to answer you. Mm-hmm. It is that point of prayer. Mm-hmm. It's all about prayer. Mm-hmm. Humbling yourself, coming before him and allowing him to bring his covenant to pass in your life.
And, you know, and we don't want to be like Pharaoh. You know, we knew that, you know, Pharaoh, you know, he was, you know, he would never worship God either way. But we don't want to follow that trait where Pharaoh taught the people how to build everything outside of themselves. They knew how to build pyramids. They knew how to build everything. They built everything outside of themselves. And then when God gave the command to Moses to go to Pharaoh and to command that people be released, the people were released only to get out in the desert. They had everything. They had money. They had jewels. They had it all. They had everything and suffered that strong personal relationship with God. And they could see him so clearly. A fire by night, you know, and you know, a cloud by day. They could see him so vividly, but they did not have him. And so I believe that is the problem right now with the body of Christ. We're trying to have 2 and 3 churches in one location. What's wrong with one?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so the thing is, we're not taking care of what's in the one. We're trying to build something outside of ourselves, and the people are dying from the inside out.
Exactly.
You know, the people are grumbling and complaining, and because of that, the enemy is coming in and he's wounding them. There's more cancer and diabetes and more high blood pressure in the church than you ever seen before. And the church is supposed to be a hospital.
Right.
This is where we go to get healed. Mm-hmm. You know, church is just a small portion of what the home is supposed to be. I can't come to church and have church. I should have been having church at the house.
Right. It's all about prayer. It's all about that communion. You know, we humble ourselves, seek his face. He will heal us. He will heal our land.
Amen.
It's all
Amen.
About the humility Amen. And
Amen.
Prayer.
Amen. I want the listeners to know right now, I'm Dr. Terry and Beth. They put 2 keys in my hand, and I tell you what, every time I hold these keys tight, I just get so emotional because there is a move of God going on here. I'm Terry. And so I'm going to continue to hold these keys and going to lay before the Lord and cry out for the seers. But I believe God is giving you a word, Terry. And if you could just release what God is giving you, this word for these keys, for this time and for this season, we would appreciate it.
Keys represent a number of things, but I'll focus on 3.
Okay.
First off, authority. Mm-hmm. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We have been given authority to operate in the name of the Lord on his behalf in the earth. Now, here's the key to authority. It's understanding my sphere. It's understanding my measure. It's understanding the boundaries. I have authority within the boundaries that God has given to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have authority outside of those boundaries.
Amen.
So I have to understand my boundaries, understand my territory, mm-hmm. so that God can allow me to operate in authority. And many times we allow the enemy to usurp that authority.
Mm-hmm.
But God's calling us in this season to understand who we are, and that comes out of that relationship with the Holy Spirit. That comes out of a vibrant prayer life. Understand who we are, because when we begin to operate in authority, that's when the justice of God will prevail on our behalf that Beth had talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That's when hope is brought out.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing a key represents is access. I have a key that gives me access.
Mm-hmm.
We have access to the throne room of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We come boldly in our time of trouble, and we have access to the throne room of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But then thirdly, keys authorize. If I don't have the key to that lock, I'm not authorized to open up that lock.
Right.
And a key is keyed to a specific lock. So what is God saying about the key that he's putting in our hand? There's a specific lock that he wants to unlock. For me, it is the provision and the unfulfilled promises, the prophetic promises of the past that he made to me that I have not yet realized, because maybe the timing is not right and he's asking me by faith to step up and say, I declare that that was the word of the Lord in my life. I have not realized it, but I will realize it. Therefore, I'm bringing that promise into my present to create my future.
Mm-hmm.
So keys give us access, but they authorize us.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Chevrolet.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a Volkswagen key at home. That Volkswagen key will not operate in that Chevrolet. It won't open the door. It won't fit in the lock.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to put my daughter's Kia key into the Volkswagen one day. They looked very similar, and it wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, why is it? And then I looked at it, and I realized I have the wrong key. This key is not authorized for that lock.
That's right.
So God is authorizing you to operate within this CSRA area. I think we need to mark the boundaries of the CSRA. That's what God was dealing with me last night. And we need to begin to declare that the CSRA does not belong to the devil.
Amen.
The CSRA Amen. Does not belong to the gangs, the drug lords. It does not belong to crime. It does not belong to the state of Georgia, the state of South Carolina, but it belongs to the kingdom of God. And
Amen.
We begin to declare the purposes of God, the kingdom purposes of God, into Thompson, Georgia,
Amen.
Into Augusta, Georgia, into Martinez, Georgia, into Hebsibah, Georgia, into Aiken County,
Amen.
Into the Horse Creek Valley,
Hallelujah.
Into Bath and
yes.
Warrenville and
yes.
Gloverville
Hallelujah.
And all those areas
Hallelujah.
That are around there, North Augusta and all those areas that are around there, we begin to declare the purpose of God in this whole CSRA area, and that God will elevate this area. He'll bless this area in such a way that it will get the attention of the nations of the earth, and the nations of the earth will be touched out of this area. So I just feel like that God's getting things in order and getting things in place. Somebody says, well, why do you say God's getting ready to move? It's not that God's not ready to move. We're not ready to receive. God's got to position us
That's
in the right place to receive from
That's
him.
Right. Beth, did God give you anything?
Yes, I believe that he is bringing to pass his covenant. The things that are lost are going to be restored.
Amen.
Where we have suffered loss, this is going to be our time. This is going to be our year to recover all.
Amen. You know, the first time I really got a chance to really spend time with you too, Beth looked at me and she said, God's going to do two things for you. He's going to vindicate and he's going to validate. And I give God the glory for that. And, you know, God hasn't spoken to me about the key in my left, but in my right hand, when I grasped my hand on this key, God said to me, he said, this is the year, 2017 will be the year of the double portion for you.
Mm.
And so I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful
That's
for
That's the
that.
Word of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there was a scripture, Terry, that God was speaking to you, we have 3 minutes now. If there is a scripture that God has given you for the CSRA for the year of 2017, what would that scripture be?
I would go back to Isaiah 22:22. I will lay upon him the key to the house of David.
Amen.
That God wants the body of Christ in this season to operate in the authority that he's given to us.
That's right.
To understand who we are, to know who we are. And it says that he will use that key to open doors and to close doors.
Amen.
If you go over to Revelation 3, Jesus has the key to the house of David.
Amen.
The scripture there is like him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to become the chief steward of King Hezekiah in the place of Shebna, if you read that 22nd
mm-hmm.
chapter of Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
And God is saying, I'm promoting you and elevating you. This is a season of promotion and elevation.
Hallelujah.
And God's going to give you the key to unlock the door so you can walk through the door of your future. Isaiah 22:22.
Hallelujah. I'm sitting here like a ready student right now. I don't feel like I'm the one in authority right here, right now. I feel like I'm the one that's listening and learning. Beth, did God give you anything before we go?
Just that... what is lost is going to be restored. Get your hopes up. Go
oh,
ahead.
Hallelujah.
Start rejoicing.
Yes,
you can't be in the operating the fullness of hope unless you're rejoicing. Start rejoicing. Just
hallelujah.
Do it by faith.
Yes, right.
And let that hope be activated and let God connect with you in that point.
Hallelujah.
And let him bring you through that entire
hallelujah.
Process
hallelujah.
To work justice in your life
Thank
to restore
you.
To you whatever's been lost.
Hallelujah. I believe when you entered into the Thompson area, I believe that the spirit of the open door came with you, Terry. Beth, I believe the spirit of the open door. I keep hearing God for the last 2 minutes. He said they brought the spirit of the open door. And so as the spirit of the open door is in here and in our midst, I want you to close in prayer, getting the full revelation, the full mandate. That the spirit of the open door will be released in the year of 2017, especially here in the city of Thompson, and God will do exploits, the greater exploits that he promised he would do. Amen.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity
Jesus.
And privilege
yeah.
to speak forth your word,
Jesus.
And we just declare that the door is open. You said you will open doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open to the Church of Philadelphia. We speak that over the Church of Thompson. We speak that over the Church of the CSRA, that we are one body, and that you are one Lord. We have one faith. There's one baptism, and we're going to come together in unity to pray and believe and to cry out for you for an awakening, for a move of your spirit to come in Thompson, Georgia. We declare the open door today in the name of Jesus over every person listening, over every person that will listen to the recordings and to the rebroadcast that will take place in days to come. And we declare the doors are open in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a beautiful morning. Thank you, Beth. Thank you, Terry.
God bless you.
Dr. Pauline Hughes, Spiritual Mind, Spiritual You.